All right, guys, we are back after a tremendous episode yesterday. Unbelievable. I think we're going to actually cross 1 million views in less than 24 hours, which is just impressive. Impressive mostly because I think the majority of people have this perception that the public is too stupid or lacks substance to deal with complex issues. They think that everybody is just so surface. And so a lot of times in media, you're encouraged not to talk about anything of substance, like just be outraged at the Olympics and say, oh, what's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And don't get any deeper than that. And I went deeper yesterday because I felt that it was the right moment and I very much trust my audience. And now I realize that there is so much that, just like me a couple of years ago, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. And then I did the research and then I wanted to know all of it. I see that you guys have that exact same yearning. And so today I'm not going to let you down. We are going to continue that most important discussion. So welcome back to Candace. I would probably say that within my life, telling the truth has always come very easily to me. In fact, I think I've always sort of demanded to have an honest discussion, even from the time that I was a small child. I get that question all the time from people, you know, how did you learn how to public speak? Where do you get the confidence? And especially now that I have 3 kids, you can just see that everyone's wired in a different way when they're born. And I was just wired to want to know the truth without being fooled into it in any capacity. So I guess an example of this would just be my parents would always say that they had to sort of close the door and laugh when I was a toddler because I was constantly asking them questions. Like I was just this precocious child and I was always looking out for my sisters in the same capacity, like telling them that this adult couldn't be trusted or they weren't telling us the truth over something that probably was completely meaningless. But I think it just spoke to my natural character. And so when I got into politics and I recognized that the same thing was happening, that people were reaching this level of popularity where they suddenly felt that they just wanted to stay comfortable and they were no longer reaching to reveal the truth to their audiences, it was a tremendous letdown for me. Genuinely, it was a tremendous letdown for me. And so yesterday's episode didn't come without thought. You know, it was a discussion rather that I was having with my family, with my sisters, with my husband, when I started stumbling upon deeper and deeper truth and much of it just being so obscured from the public. You know, should we bring this forward? Do we want to be the people that bring this forward? Do we want to be the people that put our lives at risk, that put our reputation at risk? And I just know that there has been a lot that's been happening in the world, but I felt very much that the signs were there, that the public was ready, and that I was ready to sort of deliver this information. And so I want to jump right back into that discussion that we were having really about spiritualism. And I'm going to use a recent current event that happened a couple of years ago. You will remember this because I think it might have been the craziest moment from 2022. So Kyrie Irving, at the time, he still might be a basketball player for the Brooklyn Nets, tweeted a link to a documentary, absent commentary. He didn't tweet this and say, I agree with this. He didn't tweet this and say, like, I disagree with this. He just tweeted a link to a readily available documentary that was on Amazon and he said nothing. And the next thing you knew, he was a mainstream story and he was at risk of losing his job as a basketball player. And the title of the documentary was From Hebrews, to Negroes. And if he had just tweeted it and the media didn't react with such insanity, probably no one would have watched it. I'm serious. Like it was a nothing thing, but they made such a big deal out of it that I remember watching the situation go down and going, okay, what is in this documentary that people are freaking out so much that the NBA has given him, you'll recall this, a list of 6 demands, a list of 6 action items that he must complete in order to return to the franchise. Okay. Absurd. Do you remember this headline that was going on? This is what Kyrie Irving must do to get his life back for having tweeted out a link to a documentary that's available on Amazon. Not Jeff Bezos, but Kyrie Irving is at fault. Not Jeff Bezos for making it readily available on Amazon. First set of things that he had to do, the first thing he had to do was he had to issue an apology for posting a link to the movie, condemn the harmful and false content, and make it clear that he does not have anti-Jewish beliefs. Secondly, he had to complete the anti-hate causes that the Irving and the Nets and the ADL, I'll keep that topic, we're going to talk about more of the ADL today, agreed upon in their joint release, which included a $500,000 donation toward causes and organizations that work to eradicate hate and intolerance in communities. He was then told he had to complete sensitivity training created by the Nets. He was then told he had to complete anti-Semitic, anti-hate training designed by the Nets, and meet with representatives from the ADL as well as Jewish community leaders in Brooklyn. And the last one was after completing steps 1 through 5, he had to meet with the owner of the Nets, Joe Tsai, and lead franchise officials and demonstrate the lessons that he learned. Okay, so this was just like a whipping, a public whipping. It made entirely no sense. And I don't think he actually ended up doing any of that, because then there was outrage and outcry, rightfully so, from the Black community going, what are you doing right now? What did he do that was so wrong? And of course, because of the way my brain works, when I see the media overreact, I just go, what's in this documentary? I mean, I think that's called the Streisand effect. Like, when you go so crazy about something that people wouldn't have noticed, then suddenly go, okay, well, what am I not supposed to see in this documentary? And I, of course, instantly watched it. And it was, by the way, very poorly put together, which is why it made it even crazier. It seemed like a very budget film that was put together. It looks almost like a PowerPoint, to be honest. And I remember watching this going, how could this documentary have caused this much craziness in the media? And then I realized that the point of the documentary that it was making that upset, and this is why the ADL got involved, was the documentary makers, that is, were alleging that the current Jewish people that are in Israel are not, in fact, biblical Jews, and instead that the people that were brought over in the transatlantic slave trade from Africa to America were the original Hebrews, okay? So parking aside whether or not you agree with that, I have obviously no idea. How strange is it that that would cause that sort of a reaction? I mean, we live in a time where a man can say he's a woman and a woman can say that she's a man. You can quite literally wake up and pick your gender and pick your species, and people will be affectionate towards you. They feel so bad for you. They have sympathy. It's like, we must do more to support these communities. They're not confused as who they are on the inside. But for Kyrie Irving, there was no grace. It was like, no, this is so wrong, and you're going to lose your entire life for even exploring that idea. What it led me to think was, it is quite sad when you consider that so many of us have no idea where we come from. Like, that to me was the bigger point, that there are so many people on this planet who have no idea where they come from. I'm one of them. I can't go back beyond a couple of generations. And the reason for that is because of war. It's because of slavery. It's because of large human trafficking efforts that take place. And typically it's because, well, how does it happen? Because you should know. We should be able to say exactly which tribe we all came from in the Bible, because you just think your relative then tells their descendant and tells their descendant and tells their descendant forever. And we could just look at our family history and go, yeah, my great, 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 all the going back Bible, this was us. But we can't do that, because you have situations where like a bomb is dropped, and like one kid survives. It doesn't even have a memory of his father or his mother. You have people that were separated, as African Americans were when they were first brought over from Africa, Black Americans separated from their families, being treated all across, quite literally no memory. I mean, I have part in my family. My grandfather's grandmother was fully Native American. I wish I could learn more about the Cherokee Native Americans and her given name, because they made them change their names in North Carolina, was like Eliza. My grandfather's grandmother. I know nothing about her. And there's something about that's spiritually very wrong. And like I said, everybody across the world has gone through this. There's something that puts us in a very vulnerable state when we don't know where we come from. Now, why am I saying this to you? I want to show you this clip that I saw circling on Instagram from a guy named Manly P. Hall. I don't think he's alive anymore. He was a Canadian author, a lecturer, and an astrologer. And he said something that I thought was of quite a lot of substance. Take a listen to it.
The average person who goes to school has no idea why humanity exists. He has no idea concerning a spiritual factor in material existence. He has no general comprehension of the rules of life as these differ from the rules of social and political structure. He does not know where he came from, he does not know why he is here, and he has no idea where he's going. And on this compound ignorance, we offer degrees and make brilliant scholars of the people who have never answered any of those questions. It is one of these amazing things that we have created a great hierarchy of well-lettered ignorance. We have made everything subservient, not to wisdom, but to the passing advantages of the hour.
If you don't know where you came from, you know nothing. I mean, that's the reality. When he says that we've parked aside wisdom and replaced it with something else, that is the truth. That is what comes from ancestry. There's a certain wisdom that comes from ancestry, which is why it becomes important to understand, well, if we don't know history, we know nothing. Everything is becoming an ever-present. What if there was a group of people who could quite literally, knowing every single name, trace, or maybe there is, maybe there's more than one group of people who can do this, straight back to the Bible? That would be so impressive, and they would have so many answers, and they would truly have a leg up in life. And this was something that also crossed my mind, by the way, when Vladimir Putin sat down with Tucker Carlson, and one of my friends, Mike Cernovich, tweeted this, you know, this mass media freak out that did not want Americans to hear what Vladimir Putin had to say. And he starts out with this, you know, in the 7th century. And then he starts walking through Russian history, like literally started beginning in the 7th century. And Mike Cernovich remarked that Americans have no concept of these blood feuds that could quite literally be dating all the way back to 7th century. Like what he is describing, Vladimir Putin, that is, between Ukraine and Russia, he is saying is something that began in the 7th century. That is quite impressive. Again, not something that Americans could quite imagine, least of all when so much of our education is fake, right? Let's talk about Wikipedia as just one example. Wikipedia virtually exists not to actually tell you anything historically, but to obscure things historically by like the slight removal of certain facts. They are able to realize that most people don't have a memory of things that have happened, let's call it even 50 years ago. And all they have to do is keep updating entries and wipe away a few things, and they can give you an entirely new narrative. And it has been long understood that the ADL has been effectively running. That's why I bring up the ADL again, handing Kyrie these demands. They've been running Wikipedia so much that now Wikipedia finds it offensive. So this is a recent article in Haaretz, that's an Israel-based newspaper, where they are saying the ADL faces a Wikipedia ban over reliability concerns on Israel and anti-Semitism. The ADL no longer appears to adhere to a serious mainstream and intellectually cogent definition of anti-Semitism. So what they're saying is like they're just putting their feelings in there, and they're saying a lot of stuff. But I think it's funny that the Wikipedia is saying that just recently happened. No, it's always been that way. And I gave you that example yesterday. If we knew the history of the ADL, if we could learn that on Wikipedia, no one would support the ADL, because the ADL, factually speaking, okay, was founded to protect a pedophile named Leo Frank. This is very relevant. And by the way, I had a wonderful discussion yesterday with this a Jewish PhD, a professor named and a writer named David Bashvikin on Twitter, because he heard about my episode talking about Sabbatianism. And I guess he assumed that I was going to say like, this is what Jews worship. And I was actually saying the exact opposite. So I messaged him privately on Twitter, and we had this wonderful back forth speaking about how Jewish people and Christians actually need to unite and to do the research and to root out these satanic people that have infiltrated both of our faiths, including the Muslim, the Islamic faith as well. There has been an infiltration. And so we were having this back forth, and I was speaking to him about these Frankists and how they literally came to America, and the evidence of that is everywhere. And particularly, yes, this is how the ADL was born. They were born of B'nai B'rith. B'nai B'rith was this Freemason chapter that was based in Atlanta, and Leo Frank was the president of that chapter. He was incredibly wealthy. He ran a local pencil factory. During Passover of 1913, he viciously raped and murdered a young Catholic girl named Mary Fagan. Okay. Now, this I am bringing up again because this is something that if you are Jewish and you're interested in history, this is something that you could read a book on. And I think that it would plant a seed for you that there are people that are purporting to be Jewish that are lying to you about things that have happened historically and getting you to defend these horrific people, like Leo Frank was a horrific person, on this false idea that what happened to Leo Frank was evidence of anti-Semitism. In fact, there's no evidence when you actually read the facts of his case that anything that happened to him was anti-Semitic. And yet, if you look up this entry on the Leo Frank case on Wikipedia, again, the ADL has controlled it forever, they are still trying to shift the blame of this horrific murder, which I believe was a ritualistic murder that took place because I believe that he was a Frankist. He descended from Jacob Frank. They are still trying to sell to the public that it's plausible that the black janitor did it. That is explicitly racist, okay? You have to be a moron, and I'm saying this with love in my heart, to believe that in 1913 Atlanta, okay, in the segregated South, that the judicial system decided to collude, right, to protect a black janitor, a poor black janitor who raped and killed a white girl. Like, that is just, it never happened. And yet the ADL is still trying to sell it. Because when you get into this case, you recognize that they are an evil organization. And it's terrifying to think that this evil organization, who in my view, does not support Jewish people at all. That is not their purpose. In fact, like I said, I believe that they are a Frankist organization, as best evidenced by the fact that the ADL, right, decided to remove the Azov Battalion, yeah, the ones that are carving swastikas into their bodies, the neo-Nazi Azov Battalion in Ukraine. Well, they conveniently removed them from the hate list when suddenly they wanted to get behind the war in Ukraine. Okay. A person that would remove literal, actual, verifiable neo-Nazis that have carved swastikas into their forehead from the hate list in order to further Zelensky's purposes are probably not looking out for the best interests of the Jewish people, right? So that's just a little nugget for you guys. Look into that case and recognize that not only was Leo Frank incredibly wealthy, they were essentially running this town. Again, he was the factory, the person, the superintendent of the factory. His wife was an unbelievably wealthy woman. There's a picture of him right there. He looks evil to me, okay? Named Lucille Selig. If you think with all of that money and all of that power, and he tried to blame it on multiple people, not just this poor black bandit janitor, but there was so much evidence. The evidence was so overwhelming that when that little girl came to pick up her paycheck, that he got her into the office, he lured her into there, raped her, and then killed her, and then tried to get the janitor to write a letter so that he could offset his crime onto a poor black man. Again, so overwhelming that you will just be like, what is going on? And there's little tidbits, of course, that are not included in the Wikipedia entry, like the fact that they hated Christians. They did. Okay, that's a fact. You can actually look at this book that was written as the comprehensive account of the Leo Frank case by a man named Leonard Dinnerstein. And he shows this passage that Leo Frank's mother stood up and had an outburst in the middle of the hearing, referring to them as Christian dogs. Mrs. Frank, no, nor you either, you Christian dog. Conveniently missing, again, from the Wikipedia entry, because the ADL, of course, is obscuring its own history. They also were involved in a lot of criminality involvement. The FBI was looking into them. And yet today, remarkably, the ADL trains FBI agents. How could that be? How could it be that an organization that was being looked into for factually wiretapping people, that was being looked into, now suddenly they wipe their own history and they're training FBI agents? Not only that, but they share a building in Connecticut with the FBI. Does that make you comfortable knowing what I've just told you about the ADL, that this would be happening? And obviously we got to see them flex their power when it came to TikTok. You know, Trump couldn't get it done when he signed an executive order saying, I'm worried about China, we should ban TikTok. But when the ADL wanted to do it, yeah, like, I mean, it took a day, a couple of phone calls, maybe some blackmail files. I don't know. I have no idea. But it's just incredible to see that people just got in line and were willing to go, yeah, no, we should definitely ban TikTok. Now, the reason why I'm speaking to you about this is twofold, because it's very important for us to understand that, again, the job is to not just delete your ancestral history via never-ending wars, moving people around, large human trafficking operations, but to also create that 1984 scenario where essentially you don't have a memory of yesterday. Everything's just become like an ever-present, right? People are not even learning how to read. The establishment of public education, federal education, the Department of Education, and now kids are getting dumber and dumber and dumber, and they're just going to tell people what to think. Of course, making it so that people react emotionally and not rationally. You're not going to be able to access books. You're not going to be able to read these books. Everything is just going to be an ever-present, and the state is going to tell you what to think. They're going to enslave humanity, in my view, in this way. And one thing, and this is a big thing, by the way, so I'm really hoping that a lot of people who are Jewish are watching this as well, that struck me as really odd when I was learning about Sabbatianism, and this really shocked me in my core because I've always told you guys I grew up with a large Jewish community. All my best friends were Jewish growing up, and I've always seen like the Star of David that is a lot of Jewish people wear as a necklace, you know, and I thought that that was associated traditionally somehow with Judaism. And so I was very surprised, and I will ask the question, do you know the history of the Star of David? Why is it being called the Star of David? And I'm just going to just show you guys this straight up on Wikipedia. So if there's like, if it's on Wikipedia, basically after they've obscured everything, that just must mean that it's just such an irreversible fact, because you wouldn't even want to admit this. But this is what the entry shows you about the Star of David, because it's actually a very recent thing that has been adopted from the Jewish community. Okay. It's not something stemming from the ancient times. And this is exactly what it reads. It reads that it is a derivative of the Seal of Solomon, was used for decorative and mystical purposes by Muslims and Kabbalistic Jews. I want you to remember that, okay? So it's a derivative of the Seal of Solomon. King Solomon was used for decorative and mystical purposes by Muslims and Kabbalistic Jews. It also goes on to say that only around one millennium later did the star begin to be used as a symbol to identify Jewish communities, a tradition that seems to have started in Prague before the 17th century. I want you to remember that as well. And from there spread to much of Eastern Europe in the 19th century. It came to be adopted by European Jews as a symbol to represent Jewish religion or identity in the same manner the Christian cross identified the religion's believers. The symbol became representative of the worldwide Zionist community after it was chosen as the central symbol on a flag at the first Zionist Congress in 1897. So this is a recent symbol. But I'm going to show you that there is a mention of that star. It is called something else in the Bible. It is referred to, and I'm going to just dig this up for you, something that is known as the Star of Remphan in the Bible, okay? And I'm going to show you that star right now. Here's a picture of it. Oh, you can see if you're Jewish, you're going, oh, that's the Star of David. You can see on that left side there, by the way, that you see a goat, and you see it looks like a pharaoh up top there. So you're going, okay, I don't associate this with Judaism whatsoever. And in the Bible, here's where it's mentioned. It says, "Ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." It's also referenced later. It says, "Ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chian, your images, the star of your god, which ye made to yourself." So what is this referring to? It's referring to the ancient Canaanites, okay? The Canaanites were a brutal and a wicked culture. They frequently engaged in behavior that was considered obviously immoral and decadent, right? A list of the sins that Israel was told to avoid at all costs. Those sins included, the Canaanites partook in incest, in child sacrifice, in homosexuality, and in bestiality. Now, in your mind, you're going, okay, that sounds familiar. We spoke about this as well when I was telling you guys about the Khazarian kingdom. And I think somebody asked a question yesterday, like, oh, do you know about the Khazars? And I had mentioned to you that, yes, I'm very aware, by the way, because I think that is what was mentioned also in that documentary that Kyrie Irving shared, was that for a period of time, a lot of Israeli historians were writing books and receiving awards for having traced their lineage to the Khazars. A very similar story with that kingdom before it was crushed by Russia and Persia. Okay. So if you're following what I'm saying to you here, essentially, this star of Remphan, which is being used, it was a symbol that the Canaanites used, and it was the star of a deity in which they worshipped. And I'm going to show you that Moloch, I guess. Okay, so again, you are seeing child sacrifice, which is what is being portrayed here. I'm not sure if we have another photo of Moloch, but yeah, you know, it has long been understood. There's Baal, there's Moloch, it's all about child sacrifice. And the goat is a known image that is associated with it. And another word for Moloch is Saturn. So this is all very interesting because you're going, okay, you have this entry. It says to you that this came from the Seal of Solomon. It had to do more with the Kabbalah. A lot of people wear it today, and they don't worship the Kabbalah. They have, obviously, but again, you don't really know history. You're growing up in a family. You're wearing this. You don't know history of these things, because why would you? I don't know much history about really anything. Like I said, I don't even know where my family's ancestry comes from. But I found this to be really interesting. So on Wikipedia, there's just an entry for sorcery, just the word sorcery, which they have in parentheses, is also known as Goetia, okay? And it tells you that King Solomon, in this entry of Israel, was linked with magic and sorcery attributed to a book with incantations for summoning demons, okay? The Testament of Solomon, one of the oldest magical texts, narrates Solomon's use of a magical ring to command demons. Now, you can see on the right there, Solomon's seal has what we would refer to. It is the Star of David, right? The Star of David that we know, actually, as we just saw, it's actually the Seal of Solomon. And it is telling you that King Solomon linked this with magic and sorcery. And the oldest magical text narrates Solomon's use of a magical ring to command demons. With the ascent of Christianity, books on magic were frowned upon, and the spread of magical practices was often associated with paganism, okay? And then you'll see later on in this exact same Wikipedia entry, it says the magical revival of sorcery gained momentum in the 19th century, spearheaded by figures like Eliphas Levi. If you're a watcher of this show, you know that that is the guy that created Baphomet, the transgendered deity, okay? Spearheaded by Eliphas Levi and Aleister Crowley, okay? Person that I've been telling you, the establishment of NASA. So what we have here is a scenario where the occult has really just kept going on since biblical times, masquerading within and around different religions. So you know about Gnosticism, the Jewish Kabbalah, the Christian Kabbalah. We know that there are these people who believe in this magic. And that is why yesterday when I was telling you guys, and you guys were very reactive, and I'm so glad that you really engaged in this, about this unknown schism that took place. So relevant to understand this. And again, I learned this because I was interested in the perversion of Sigmund Freud. This unknown schism in which half of the world's Jewry converted or followed this guy who they believed to be the Messiah. His name was Sabbatai Zevi. Now, Sabbatai means Saturn, okay? And by the way, in case you guys didn't know, this is just another fun fact, there is a hexagon on Saturn. Okay, so you have this guy, bring him back up again, Sabbatai Zevi. And the story there, and I'm going to run you through this very quickly, is that this guy was born in what would be considered modern day Turkey. Okay, he was Turkish. He was living in the Ottoman Empire. He declared himself to be, he was a follower of the Kabbalah, the Illurianic Kabbalah, which was a very big deal at that time. He declared himself to be the Messiah, and half of the world's Jewry at that time believed that he was. People were traveling to Palestine to see him, to bring him gifts. And then what happened was they became disillusioned with him because he came across the Sultan, the Ottoman Sultan, and he basically, the Sultan was like, you better convert. You're either going to become a Muslim or I'm going to kill you. And so this guy freaked out. It's understood now. There are great Jewish historians among them, I think, who is probably the most well-read on this guy. And this guy's history is a man named Gershom Scholem. And again, I will link these books on my locals page. I didn't do it yesterday because I ran out of time, and I'm going to do it. Anyways, he basically said, yeah, you're going to either convert, you're going to become a Muslim today, or you will get killed. And so guess what he did? He converted and he became Muslim. Okay. So this guy who says he's the Messiah, who's worshiping the Kabbalah, then converts and suddenly says, oh, this is actually totally fine because I have fulfilled the law of the Torah. I have fulfilled the law of the Torah. And actually, it is now called upon us to sin. And a form of that is apostasy, which is essentially you can convert in order to deceive people into different faiths. And I am proof of that. So even though I am converting, I'm becoming a Muslim, it doesn't actually matter because laws have no meaning. Again, the Torah has been filled. I am the Messiah and here I am. And at that moment, okay, now no longer half the world's Jews were following him. They were going, okay, this guy seems like a fraud. But he had the backing of the wealthiest people in the world. Okay, so his influence never went away. This became known as Sabbatianism. And what these Kabbalists believed was that, yes, they would inherit the earth through deception, through deceptive means. So what became born was this group of Kabbalists who then made their way into Islam. They became known, and my pronunciation might be wrong here because I've only read about this, as Donmeh, D-O-N-M-E-H. And I want to tell you guys that these people still exist today. So I'm going to show you this article in the Times of Israel where they're speaking about the history of Sabbatai Zevi, a savant in Jewish texts whose erratic behavior fits the symptoms of a bipolar personality disorder. This, by the way, is what most people believe today when they look at this moment in Jewish history, that actually he was like a bipolar, schizophrenic, crazy person. And at that time, because of what was going on, people wanted to believe he was the Messiah and then realized that maybe he was a crazy person. And it says in that same article, you can pull that back up, Sabbatai Zevi's legacy has had a long-lasting effect on the region as a whole. This is referring to modern Turkey, including the Donmeh of Turkey, a society of crypto-Jews who for centuries presented themselves as Muslims, but continued to consider themselves Jewish with Sabbatai as their prophet. Now, I would say that they considered themselves to be Kabbalist, and a lot of these individuals, probably the most notable among them, there is evidence, and this is going to be extremely controversial, but I will link to you this evidence, that Ataturk was Donmeh. Ataturk came from a region where there was a strong Sabbatian stronghold, and there was an Israeli historian, an Israeli individual who wrote a book, which has now been discontinued, who said, yeah, I met him before he became Ataturk, and yeah, he was Jewish. I met him in a hotel, and he was Jewish. And again, I'm going to link that for you, the person, just so I can give you the name, because I'm sure people are going to go crazy for me saying that. This was published in Forward Magazine, it's a Jewish publication in New York, back in 1994. An out-of-print Hebrew autobiography by Itamar Ben Avi, the son of Eliezer Ben Yehuda, the leading promoter of the revival of spoken Hebrew in the late 19th century Palestine. Ben Avi, the first child to be raised in Hebrew since ancient times and later a Hebrew journalist and newspaper publisher, writes in his book of walking into the Kamenetz Hotel in Jerusalem one autumn night in 1911 and being asked by its proprietor, do you see that Turkish officer sitting there in the corner, the one with the bottle of arak? Yes, he's one of the most important officers in the Turkish army. It goes on and talks about how he looked at him and thought it was weird that soon to be Ataturk had piercing green eyes. And then Ataturk intimated to him that, you know, he was Donmeh, that actually he was not at all actually a Muslim. So that's obviously extremely controversial. Again, I will link this. It is a matter of debate. But the point is that these people do exist. And they to think about that in a larger scale of people who are falsely converting to other faiths and then causing wars or participating in wars and upheavals is a very scary, not a thought, an understanding, okay? That is an understanding. I don't want to say it's a thought. I just think this happened. Now, I've read this, and the implications there are quite severe. Quite severe. So, like I said, I can show you how all of our faiths have been infiltrated, and I say this, the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, and, of course, the Muslim faith has been infiltrated by people with the explicit aim, as Sabbatai Zevi had, of taking over the world, that through sin, they would be redeemed. They had to commit sins. It's a form of Gnosticism. The more that you sin, the more egregious your sin, we will inherit the earth. And I'm going to take a quick pause right here because I want to thank one of our sponsors. It's a great one to come right on time, obviously, because as we're talking about spirituality, for those of you who are thinking about praying, don't even know where to start. Well, I can't recommend enough Hallow, the app Hallow. It's summer, and I, of course, I like to spend time with my family. I like to travel, but there's one routine that I really never let go of, and it's every day I pray. And I'll be continuing my daily habit of prayer with Hallow, the number one prayer app in the world. I love Hallow because it's a great resource for the entire family, and it will help you grow a connection with God. So if you're looking for a place to start, check out their new scripture series on the Gospel of John with biblical scholar Jeff Cavins and Jonathan Rumi, who portrays Jesus in The Chosen, or some new upcoming content with Jim Caviezel, the actor from Sound of Freedom and Passion of the Christ. Using this app is such a great way to spend a few minutes a day meditating on scripture and talking to God about what he wants for your life. Prepare your mind and heart for the chaos of this world by building your foundation of daily prayer today on Hallow. Download it for 3 months free at hallow.com/Candace. So yeah, I would really love to know what you guys are thinking right now. Like, what are you thinking as we are getting deeper into understanding that it is entirely plausible? In fact, it is an actuality. There's no question that what came after Sabbatai Zevi. So these Kabbalists believe that through these demonic chants, it became Jacob Frank. What came in the next century was Aleister Crowley. Again, always backed by the wealthiest people in the world, okay? These were not like some poor people. I told you Jacob Frank, who came about 100 years later, was given a castle, okay? He was given a castle, and his family was ennobled. Jacob Frank was ennobled because, as I told you, he had an affair with Empress Maria Therese, okay? And after that affair, again, they believed in sexual rituals. These were the sacraments. They believed, Jacob Frank believed in incest. He believed in sexual rituals. This is the reason why the Jewish community was at war with one another. And it is a fact that when he got kicked out of Poland the first time after having this bizarre sexual ritual, and a Talmudic rabbi kicked him out, they actually had rabbinical trials over this. This history is just right in your face. Rabbinical trials being like, this man is demented. Get him out of here. But what he did to protect himself and to protect his Frankist followers was he made a plea. He made a plea to the bishop at that time and said, hey, we'll convert to the Catholic faith, our religion, to not at war with one another. And not only that, but I will tell you, and he made this allegation that the Talmudists are killing Christians. Everything you suspected is true. They are killing Christians. It's a part of a blood ritual that they're doing. So you can imagine this was going on right now, where you had the Jewish community warring with one another. And then what was the result of this was something which I so deeply regret for the Catholic faith, that that bishop at that time allowed these false conversions, sided with Jacob Frank at that time, because he's thinking, oh, well, if you're going to throw this guy under the bus, you're going to throw the Talmudists under the bus. And what then happened was this mass burning of the Talmud that took place in Poland, right? Fine. This is what this guy said. He's like, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. You can convert. And of course, they then later got kicked out of the Catholic faith. But by then, you see this apostasy continually happening, where they just appear amongst other religions, and they are explicitly saying to people, convert and hide yourself. Convert, you know, pretend that you worship these faiths, but privately, you are going to worship the Zohar. You are going to worship the Kabbalah. You have to hide who you actually are. And in that book that I was telling you about, that was written by David Bacon, he put the pieces together and was able to determine that Sigmund Freud was one such Kabbalist. So on his face, they presented himself as like, you know, I'm a Galician Jew, which therefore would imply that I follow the Torah. No, they didn't follow the Torah. Thought that law had been fulfilled, and that their new job was to sin in order to inherit the earth, that there was some magic to the idea of sinning. And Jacob Frank said this to them. He's like, I have come here to cast you to your lowest low so that we may raise, and we will inherit the earth through deception. And so I have been very honest with the fact that a huge problem that I have with just a lot that I have learned is that there was this very quick, or at least I've seen historically speaking, all throughout American history. And like I said, this adoption of the, now if you're a Catholic, you might call this the Star of Remphan. If you're Jewish, you might call this the Star of David, but it is explicitly acknowledged as coming from Solomon's seal, this sign of sorcery as being adopted as the symbol for the Zionist cause. And I have seen that when you look into the individuals who are definitively Frankist, who practiced, like I said, in your own time, research Louis Brandeis. He came from a family of Frankists. It is explicit. You can find this everywhere. This cannot be contested. No one can tell you no. It's not a conspiracy theory. This man, okay, was a Frankist. He kept a photo of a portrait of Ava Frank, the unholy virgin, the non-virgin Ava Frank, who was considered a messiah, okay, the first female messiah to the mystics, on his desk. This man made it to the top of our government. He also married into a Frankist family. So this faith made it to America. And when you start to research these people, they committed a lot of their time to the Zionist cause. And that makes me uncomfortable. That makes me uncomfortable. And I am willing to say that. I am willing to have a discussion with people who think that it doesn't matter. I mean, and like I'm saying, I'm just telling you one of the families. There's a ton of these families. And their push and their dedication to the Zionist cause makes me uncomfortable given the history that I know. I believe that me having this conversation or having the courage to have this conversation, like I had that behind the scenes conversation on Twitter with David, will actually open up for the first time in a long time an alliance between Christian and Jews needing to root out these sinister satanic elements that are happening right now on the world stage. I don't believe that this is our faith. I believe that there is a fringe cult that is operating, that they are satanic. And I wonder if we are dealing with people who can trace their history, who now practice as one of their deceptive measures, routinely changing their names, reappearing somewhere else, inspiring these wars, taking, stealing, you know, the same corruption. I wonder if they can trace their lineage all the way back to the Canaanites. And they at first infiltrated the Jewish faith and the Muslim faith and then the Christian faith, maybe the Jewish and Christian faith around the same time based on what I've read. But these are very important discussions for us to be having if we are actually going to save things. We have to recognize that these people that worship Baphomet and this transgender deity, that the Kabbalah, this Lurianic Kabbalah recognizes this, and what they are trying to do through deception is to cast a spell on society to bring everybody into their consciousness. That is what it was explicitly their aims, by the way. I'm not making this up as I go along. This is the explicit aims of the Frankist cult. It's time for the world to wake up to this and to begin tracing their genealogy, tracking these name changes, and understanding what on earth is happening. Because I think what's happening is actually Satan. I do also want to shout out another one of my show sponsors that have the courage to allow me to have these conversations, and they recognize that my aim is to just give an opportunity to the entire world to better themselves, better their families, especially now during these tremendously awful economic times. We have American Financing, and I think what they aim to do, I know what they aim to do, is to help Americans who are facing these everyday expenses, putting so much on their credit cards, to elevate that, you know, to take away the stress that they're dealing with. A lot of people feel like they're in this never-ending cycle of debt. An answer is to call American Financing. Don't let the debt be on your back. They're helping people that are just like you turn things around by using the equity in their homes to pay off that high interest debt. They understand that what people are going through, and they're willing to talk to you. So American Financing is saving their borrowers an average of $854 a month. That's $800 a month. That basically comes to about $10,000 a year. Everyone can use a $10,000 raise at work. And they're closing some of these deals in as little as 10 days. So if you start today, you may not have to make next month's mortgage payment. There's no better time than right now to turn your situation around. Call 800-795-1210. That's 800-795-1210. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net/Owens. All right, guys, I do want to turn to some of your comments, and there are definitely a lot of them. Let me get into what you guys are writing here. This person says, Diddy changes his name and hosts weird parties. Yes, that is a fact. And that is why I feel like I got into so much trouble for speaking about what was happening in that lawsuit. okay, it's the exact same thing. You're talking about these bizarre sex rituals. You're talking about blackmail. It's like, how many times can this happen before people start waking up and asking the right questions? And I know most people understand the significance of the Brigitte Macron story. Please go read it. Understand this, because you have to wake yourself up to the level of evil, right? You have to be willing to face it. You have to be willing to say, okay, this is real. Right? We're not going to be able to change things until you have the courage to face the evil that is happening. And I think that there's no greater modern example of that than the entire mainstream press colluding to lie to the public about the fact that Brigitte Macron is a man, born a man named Jean-Michel Trogneau. Unbelievable. Candace, you are so brave. Stay safe. A Muslim. Thank you. Did they destroy the Talmud or the Torah? In the illustration that I just gave you, it's a historical fact. They burned the Talmud. And I think the rabbi's name was Erdem, but do not quote me on that. I could be wrong. Something to look up. And like I said, I will 1000% include the links today. I know I didn't on my locals page. And for those of you, thank you so much for all of you that signed up to support me in whatever capacity that you could on locals to keep this show free. You can head to CandaceOwens.com. You give whatever you want to support this show, guys. I would really appreciate it if you took a second to do that. If you can, if you have the capacity to. This person says, I can't pronounce it, unfortunately. Muslims call the Antichrist Al-Dajjal, AKA the liar. Thank you for giving us a translation there. AKA the liar. This person says, all your good work is paying off. Love from Serbia. Yes, guys, what you do, just share these episodes, make people listen to them so that they can start researching things on their own. It's the only way we're going to have an awakening is that there has to be more of us willing to take a stand, more of us creating more videos. We have to create just an echo. You know what I mean? And that's where the power comes from, is that we've removed the power from the mainstream media's hands because they are part of this. They are part of the elite. And you have other people who are just bad faith actors. Okay. They are not worshiping the Kabbalah, but they are perhaps blackmailed. And the people that are in control are very clearly, in my view, these people. And they've always been in control. Like I said, it reappears as Aleister Crowley. He was best friends with the editor over at Vanity Fair. He was friends with the people in that club, the Yale Club. The name is escaping me right now. But these were the elites, okay? These were not people that were on the fringes. This person writes, Jews, Christians, Muslims, unite. God bless you, Candace. Yes, we have to defeat Satanism, plain and simple. This person says, look up Madame Blavatsky. She trained Crowley. Yes. And guys, if these people believe in these magical rituals, in casting these spells on humanity, and you can look around you to see how much success they have had, clearly these spells have been working, then you should have that feeling in your gut right now that the only answer to that is going to be spirituality, is going to be you accepting what they know to be true. They believe in God and they're doing everything to counter him. Okay. So you better get with God. That's what I am telling you guys. You better get with God. It is the only guard that you have against this Satanism that has gone mainstream. This person said, Candace came with the receipts. Yes. Again, I will drop the receipts on locals tonight. Go to CandaceOwens.com or go to locals.com and find me there. This person says, the Rothschilds created Israel. I do not have that as a fact, but I'm reading your comment. This person says, Acts 7 discusses the Star of Remphan. Yes, that is what I just read today, and it is shocking to see. And I'm actually most interested in the people that follow me and are Jewish. Did you know any of that history? Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't, because why would you know that? It's something that I didn't know either. And I've been around Jewish people my entire life. This person says, how do we stop the media from controlling the narrative these elites want people to believe? The answer is we become the media. We become the media. We find the voices that we trust. I'm at a place right now where I basically trust like Dave Smith and Tucker Carlson in terms of people that have big platforms. I would probably say I am the biggest supporter of those two people. And you will know the people that you can trust. You can judge them by the manner in which the mainstream media tries to attack them. Okay. Anybody that's being upheld by the mainstream media, probably not someone that you can trust, because the mainstream media is absolutely evil. This person says, Candace, have you heard of Noah Harari? Please look him up. I have heard of him. This person says, research Sabatese Evi. The answers are all there. That is correct. And again, it began with Laurianic Kabbalah, which was slightly before he arrived on the scene. Again, Turkey is significant. Ukraine is significant when you get into Jacob Frank. And I have a lot of questions about everything that's happening today in the Ukrainian region. My gut instinct tells me do not support what is going in Ukraine, which is why I have not done it since day one. I have read way too much about Jacob Frank's history. I really question who the hell Zelensky is and what exactly he believes and what exactly he worships, because my friends, I do not believe that he is a follower of the Torah. I just do not. And the ADL support of him all but verifies my gut instinct. This person says, I didn't care for you, and then I researched you for myself. Thank you for what you are doing. May Yahweh protect you, your family, and the truth. I would love for you to dig into Africans being the true Israelites. I mean, I watched that documentary. I just didn't see any proof that was presented there. Like, it was somebody that was making musings about it, but they didn't actually present any concrete proof. And so, yeah, I appreciate your comment. I have not ever looked into that, to be completely honest with you. And like I said, I don't know my family history outside of knowing my grandma came from St. Thomas. My grandfather has one grandmother who was Native American Cherokee from North Carolina. But I would love to know my family history. I think we all have a right to know where we come from. This person says, oops, this actually went away. Sorry. Don't pretend this evil only started with the Sabbatian Frankists. I am not saying that this evil only started with the Sabbatian Frankists. I am just giving people, I guess, a little snippet of where they can begin their research. And this is just the research that I have, guys. I don't have all of the answers. I've never claimed to have all of the answers, but I do have all of the questions, and I have the courage and the audacity to ask them publicly, while being maimed and while being caricatured and while still learning and while being routinely called stupid by academics who quite literally exist to make everybody else stupid, despite the fact that they're convinced that they're intelligent because they have a degree. They don't know where they came from. They know nothing. They're not even going to know in the future the difference between a man and a woman. They're going to be so unwise, right? So distrusting of their own gut instinct, so distrusting of their own eyes and their own ears, that in the future, they won't even be able to tell you the difference between a male and a female. So guys, we are going to stop there. Again, share this episode. Thank you guys so much from the bottom of my heart for giving me the courage to do this. And there's so many other episodes in American history that I want to talk about, and then I'm going to continue to speak about on this show with your tremendous vote of confidence. All right, guys, go to locals.com, support the show, and we'll see you tomorrow.